You're listening to Beyond Busy, the show where we talk productivity, work-life balance, and how people define happiness and success. All the big questions for work and life. My name's Graham Olcott. I'm your host for the show, and my guest this week is Christina Kisley. She is the founder of Kisley & Wild. She's got 30 plus years experience as a coach, as a growth catalyst, and just someone who really understands both business and collaboration and people. And I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. We are basically using for this episode the audio from a free webinar that we put on a little while ago, and it was for World Kindness Day. So the topic that we're going to be talking about this week is the productivity of kindness. And this is a topic very close to my heart for reasons which will become more obvious at the end of this episode. I have a very special announcement to make at the end of this episode. So stay tuned right till the end. Grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee or a glass of wine, depending on what time of day or evening you're listening to this. And let's get into the episode. Obviously, the wine is if you listen to this in the morning. So my guest is Christina Kisley, and we're talking about the productivity of kindness. And one of the things that I want to plug as part of this is a thing that we're doing together over 4 weeks in January. We're going to be running together a thing called the Kindness Happening. And it's a limited Zoom group, maximum of 40 places, 40 places. So pretty small little group. And the idea is we're going to be talking about kindness at work, kindness and its effect on productivity, and all kinds of stuff around that. So radical honesty, how to give feedback with kindness, you know, really talking about some of the ways to have difficult conversations at work in a way that's kind and authentic and really holds that person at the center of the conversation. So this is something that Chris and I have been talking a lot about just behind the scenes for quite a while, and we would love you to join us at the Kindness Happening. So it's happening in January. And the reason it's called the Kindness Happening, by the way, is that it's not a workshop and it's not a focus group. It's basically a gathering. So it's bringing people together. Chris and I are going to lead it. We're going to have a fair amount of content to give to the group at the beginning. But really, it's about who else is in the room. And we've got some great people in the room, including my colleagues from Think Productive, Hayley Watts and Grace Marshall, both people who've done this podcast before. Actually, Hayley's one hasn't gone out yet, but we've recorded it. And we've also got Magnus Wood, who is the founder of the Kindness Consultancy, going to be joining us on week one's call, and lots of other stuff happening. So it's going to be a really interesting way to reflect on how you deal with people at work. It's hopefully going to give you lots of practical tips and tricks, as well as hopefully just helping to build some momentum and a bit of a movement around this idea of kindness at work and being more human at work. So if that at all sounds interesting, then go to Eventbrite, put in the Kindness Happening, and you'll find details. We've tried to keep the ticket price pretty low, and there is a little discount code which I will give you at the end of this episode as well, with my special announcement. So if you want to do that, go to eventbrite.com and put in the Kindness Happening. And we'll also put a link, obviously, in the show notes, which is at getbeyondbusy.com. Getbeyondbusy.com. And you can just jump straight from there to the Kindness Happening page. So let's get into this episode. This was originally recorded as one of our Think Productive free webinars. And we also have some other webinars around the book that I'm releasing in January with Colette Hennigan called How to Have the Energy, all about nutrition and eating well to have good energy for work. So if you want to sign up for those, go to thinkproductive.co.uk, click on the free webinars tab. Those are happening on the 7th of December, the 11th and 16th of December. So free webinars all around nutrition. Colette, voracious reader of the science of food and qualified nutritionist. She will have all the answers if you bring your questions to those free webinars. And we'll see you there. So here is last month's free webinar, which is myself and Christina. And we called this the Productivity of Kindness. I think you're going to really like it. And so let's get into it.
Welcome, everybody. It's lovely to have you with us. We've got 66 people joining and it's shooting up. And this is a very special free Think Productive webinar for World Kindness Day. So happy World Kindness Day. We're going to be talking about the productivity of kindness and why I'm on a bit of a mission to spread kindness more generally. I'll introduce Christina in a moment. So Chris is a friend and colleague. We've been working together quite a lot over this year and just has some incredible perspectives on kindness. So I just thought it'd be really good to double act this and introduce you all to Chris and Chris's work. So those of you who don't know me, so I'm Graham Alcott. I'm the founder of Think Productive. And we have, for the last decade or so, been on this mission to help organizations to make space for what matters. So that is all about helping people to get their inboxes to zero, to really think about productivity in a very personal sense, and to help them fix their meetings. I'm probably best known for the book, How to Be a Productivity Ninja. And I also have two books coming out next year. So How to Fix Meetings with my colleague, Hayley Watts, and How to Have the Energy, which is all about nutrition and eating well to have the best energy for work. And also I have a podcast called Beyond Busy. So if you're not into subscribing to my podcast yet, then go to your podcast app and subscribe to Beyond Busy. Just had Anne Bowden, the CEO of Starling Bank, on the podcast yesterday, which was great fun. And one of the reasons I'm talking about kindness a lot today and more generally, not just for World Kindness Day, is that one of Think Productive's values, we have five values in the company, and one of them is trust and kindness are our rocket fuel. So I'll be talking a little bit later about what that means and how we use that in practice. But let's start just by introducing Chris.
Hey, so my name's Chris Kisley, and I have an organization called Kisley and Wild in the States. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have been working with Graham. Actually, I've known him for about 3 years and been working with him a lot through the pandemic. So I know a lot of people have gotten closer throughout this time, and we're no exception. One of the values at Kisley and Wild is to perpetuate kindness. And so, and Graham and I didn't even actually know that about each other. Like, we didn't know that the values of our two companies were in alignment. So when we found out, it was kind of just a bonus. But our thing is all about treating people with honor, dignity, and respect, regardless of how you might feel in the moment, because I do a lot of leadership development work and a lot of teaching people how to engage, especially in the tough times. And then also practicing non-judgment and compassion, because we can all use that a little bit in the world.
If you are familiar with Productivity Ninja, you probably know that there are 9 characteristics of the Productivity Ninja. And the 9th one, which kind of wraps everything together at the end, is the idea of human, not superhero. So when I wrote Productivity Ninja, the idea of this characteristic was we all have limits. And you can, if you incorporate all the right productivity habits and skills, you can seem like you're a superhero. So you can be the person at work who is turning up on time to the meetings with a really nice file with all the right stuff printed out and ready to go. You're responding really quickly to your emails. You seem to just be on top of your game and on top of your work. But you're not a superhero. There are no special powers. So actually, a productivity ninja is just a human with good skills and doing the simple things consistently and well. It's really about recognizing that we all have limitations. We can't push ourselves too hard or we'll face burnout. And we really need to therefore embrace the human side of how we work. And I think as time has gone on, human, not superhero, out of the 9 characteristics, is probably the one that resonates the most with people. You know, when we're in companies doing workshops and people go, oh yeah, I'm human, not superhero. I need to think about that. So I think it's something where it's led me on to this whole conversation with different organizations about how can we be more human at work? And the benefits of being more human at work, which I think many of us really recognize. And also a lot of people feel quite scared of. There's some kind of notion that you need to go to work and sort of put on a cloak or a veneer or a mask and, you know, be acting in a different way that wouldn't necessarily reflect your personal values. So I've been thinking a lot recently about why that is. And I'm going to call this the ruthlessness fallacy. So we tend to adopt and perpetuate in our culture a whole series of very bad archetypes around the idea of the business baddie. So when we think of leaders, when we think of entrepreneurship, we'll often think of figures like Steve Jobs or Donald Trump, and obviously in fiction, people like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. And when business is portrayed on TV, it's in shows like Shark Tank and Dragon's Den and The Apprentice, shows that are always, you know, very dimly lit. There's kind of music that goes on in the background that makes it seem like everyone's conniving and evil and doing bad stuff. And I think what's interesting to me is that this perpetuates in the culture where people feel, you know, even friends of mine will say to me, oh, you've been an entrepreneur for 12 years. You must have had to step over loads of people in order to be successful. And, you know, my response back is always, well, no, like, why would you think that of me? You know, it's like, just feels like a really weird assumption to make about anybody. But I think what's happening here is there's this fallacy where, and it's often referred to as survivorship bias, because Steve Jobs behaved in the way that he did and then was successful, we put two and two together and say he must have been successful because he behaved like that. And, you know, I would like to just flip this around and say probably he was successful in spite of behaving like that, right? People often say of Donald Trump, he does bad stuff, but he gets things done. And it's almost like we have to tolerate this really toxic bad behavior in order to, to sort of experience the successes that he has off the back of it. And I think this is just really wrong. I think the reason that this perpetuates as a myth, this idea of the business baddie, is that there's a tiny part in all of us that is curious about what would it look like if we behaved in this really terrible way. And there's a curiosity about that. But these people, their stories are told over and over again, not because they are good examples of leadership or even common examples of leadership. They're remarkable because they are the outliers. They're not the norm. They're not how most people behave. And if you look around your own businesses, you probably see loads of examples of slightly more heroic, compassionate, empathetic leaders. And I think we need to create more of a platform for the real heroes. So Mary Portis, the retail guru, talks a lot about kindness, both in terms of kindness to her customers, kindness to her staff. Often in retail, you know, you're working with people who are on casual contracts, they're low paid, and using kindness as a way to really make people feel valued, really, really important. Nick Jenkins from Dragon's Den. So he was one of the dragons who only was on the program for, I think, one or two series. And when I interviewed him for Beyond Busy, and you can go and check that in the previous Beyond Busy episodes, there's this really interesting conversation where I say to him, were you trying to be, it felt like strategically you were trying to be the nicest dragon or the kindest dragon. And he said, well, no, that's just how I've been successful all through the years. You know, he built Moonpig as a very successful business by being reasonable. So when he's on the show and he's giving people advice, even though he doesn't want to invest in them, then it's just not good television, right? Like, people want to see the tension of someone being screwed over or, you know, seeing those really kind of ruthless, baddie behaviors play out. And the other one's on there, John Timpson, very famous, Timpson's shoes and key repair. Strange kind of shop, I guess, Timpson's, isn't it, when you think about it? But his one of his big policies in his business is to give second chances to ex-offenders and to give all the people who work in his business a lot of autonomy and trust in the way that he works with them. And that becomes something that when he shows loyalty to those people, it gets repaid tenfold. And on the right-hand side of the screen there, Tony Shah from Zappos and Oprah, both people who are, you know, really thinking about kindness for the staff that they work with. Zappos is really legendary for its customer service and kindness. And Oprah just bags of empathy. So people who I think are just really at the forefront of doing business in a much better way and just rejecting that whole business baddie narrative. We can't really talk about kindness in leadership without talking about Jacinda Ardern. I think when we look at the last few months, there's been a lot of articles written about the gender responses to COVID. So, you know, how typically a lot of the countries that have had female leaders have dealt with COVID in a much better way than those with male leaders. It's interesting when I've talked about kindness and kindness in leadership to friends and colleagues, often some of the responses I get from women is they almost have like a sort of negative reaction to the idea of kindness and leadership. And one of the things that's uncovered is that there's this book called Why Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And essentially what this book talks about is how women, if they want to succeed in business and they want to get the corner office, which is, you know, the sort of the cornerstone of success, you need to be more brutish. You need to be more male and masculine. And, you know, it's a masculine dog eat dog kind of world. Be more like that. And I would say that right now, if we look at what's happened with COVID, we need the opposite book to that. We need the book that shows men how to take on what are often seen as female traits. I think it's wrong to see them as female traits. They should just be seen as human traits, but traits of empathy, kindness, listening. You know, we need to have a book for men that teaches them how to be more like Jacinda. And I think the reason for that is that when we look at the future of work, when so many of the jobs that people do now will be automated, I think what will come to the forefront will be human beings and, you know, human behavior, managing and working with humans, collaboration with other humans is going to become more and more the essential skill of business, because a lot of the other stuff we can do with robots and machines, right? But actually how we interact with each other, collaborate with each other, for me becomes, you know, really critical to our success. So as I mentioned before, one of the values of Think Productive is trust and kindness are our rocket fuel. And there's some thinking behind that. It's not just, kind of nice, fluffy words. I think genuinely, by being kind to the people that we work with, we have a stronger, more robust business. We have a more loyal staff team. And ultimately, it drives our productivity, creativity, problem solving, all of that stuff. And the way that works is that when you're kind, what you do is you elicit and produce empathy in people. And by doing that, you gain trust. And if you think about all of the different transactions that we do in work and life, right? So whether you're buying a product, whether you're deciding to work for somebody, whether you're collaborating on a project with people, all of those transactions are based on trust. So the more trust you have, the easier it is to come to negotiations, decisions, deals on these different things. You could do a big deal with Donald Trump or Steve Jobs once, but you probably wouldn't want to go back and do it a second time. So actually the leaders that are able to build that trust and produce win-win deals are the people that you're going to come back and work with time and time again. And ultimately in organizations, I think something that we really need to aspire to is the idea of psychological safety. So from a point of trust and psychological safety, it's much easier for people to contribute, you know, perhaps a really crazy way out there creative idea. Or say, actually, everybody else in the room agrees on this thing, but I disagree and I've got a different point of view. And sometimes we need that critical thinking, we need that creativity, and we need that honesty in the way that we work. Psychological safety is something that I think often gets talked about in organizations, you know, in the HR department, but isn't necessarily as well known just like across the organizations. Chris, have you got any thoughts on that? Like why are we not talking more about psychological safety?
So it's interesting. We actually talk about it a lot in the US. So organizationally, a lot of the leaders in team development, like Patrick Lencioni, he actually does talk a lot about psychological safety, and the Harvard Business Review has done a lot of articles. And especially in the last probably 2 years, we've been talking about it, but I actually think sometimes it's not very it's not an accessible definition. So people are like, "What?"
Yeah.
So you talk about it, it feels very academic. And so I'm glad that we're actually doing what you and I are doing, because it's going to help people really understand it at a level where you can actually go make changes tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And to get, you know, I kind of feel like we need to get it out of just the L&D team, right? And this becomes a thing that everybody is focused on in organizations. We're going to talk about the 7 traits of kind leaders and then give you some practical stuff that you can do around this. So the first one is that a leader needs to have a clear vision and clear values. So clearly, if you're going to be a leader, you need to articulate the destination that you're going to take people along to.
And then the second one is focus. And it's a focus on driving performance. It's a focus on results. And so it's competing and winning together.
And the third one is people first, work second, always. This has become a bit of a personal mantra of mine. I'm going to explain fully what it means in a couple of minutes' time.
The fourth one is self-awareness. So it's understanding both your strengths and your weaknesses and being able to actually get out of the way and let people do their thing when you're not good at it.
Trust builder. So helping to build psychological safety, building autonomy, and encouraging healthy conflict. I think sometimes we shy away from conflict. No one really likes conflict, but actually we can use those disagreements to actually build more trust.
The sixth one is cultural architect. And this is all about making sure that you're rewarding and recognizing the things that you say are important in your organization. And so it's really remembering as a leader that the things that you put up on a pedestal metaphorically are the things that people look at and they'll want to do the same.
And then finally, humility. So taking responsibility when things don't go well, and then giving credit to the team when things do go well. I think ego is a really funny thing in business in general, but just being aware of that ego, I think, is just a huge responsibility that we have as leaders. So I think sometimes we confuse the idea of kind with the idea of nice. Chris, tell us what the difference is and how you see it.
Yeah, this is actually a really great conversation because it really does get confused. So if you think about nice is more not telling the truth in case it hurts someone's feelings. So it's a thing where you're like, oh, I didn't say that because I was afraid of what would happen. And kindness is thinking about making sure that you're telling the truth, but in a way that is for the person. And so that's when you actually have dealt with your own feelings before you go have a conversation with someone, so that when it comes out, whatever comes out, that the truth is, it's able to be heard. Mm-hmm. The second thing is like nodding your head in a meeting, but then going out and either talking in the parking lot or calling somebody and being like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And we actually call that the dirty yes. So it's saying yes when you actually meant no. If you're kind about it, then you actually just respectfully disagree, and you disagree with not the person, but the idea. And then the third one that we thought about was being too agreeable or malleable. So you're going along to get along. Kind people actually stand for things, but value and respect other people in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny how nice can often mean that you're just shying away from any conflict or disagreement, right? Which clearly when we're in the business of trying to, change things, trying to come up with new ideas, like you need a little bit of disagreement, kind of healthy disagreement and healthy conflict in order to make a lot of that stuff work. Do you want to talk about radical honesty?
Yeah. So I think this is one of the really really practical things that you can do, is that if you want to actually have really good conversations where you're telling the truth but being for someone, the first thing you have to do is look inward. And so you've actually really got to figure out like, okay, so how am I feeling about what's happening? And then why am I feeling this way? This is so that you can actually get out of your own way, so that when you go have the conversation, you really are for the person, that you're not caught up in your own drama. So it's everything from how am I feeling, why am I feeling it, to also what's the story I'm telling myself about why this person did what they did or why something happened. And as Brené Brown says, is that you want to actually have the most generous interpretation of someone else's behavior. And so making sure that you don't think, oh, this person like did this on purpose, or, they were trying to get something, or this was their ego. You actually are like, you know what? I'm going to bet that this person didn't even know that this had the impact that it had. And so you go into that conversation assuming no ill will whatsoever. And you set it up for success before you go in.
Brené is like Yoda, right? That thing about the generous interpretation of other people's behavior. I just think it's so powerful.
Yeah. Feels Mother Teresa-ish.
Yeah. Let's talk about giving feedback with kindness. This is a little model that Chris is going to share with us, and we thought we'd title this one, "That Sucked, But I Love You."
Yeah. So when you, when somebody does something and you need to actually give constructive feedback, so you need to share like, "Hey, you're off track." You want to be really, really, so you do the first thing first, which is like check in with yourself, kind of how you feeling about it. What's the story you're telling yourself? And then you get down to, all right, I'm going to deliver really truthful, specific feedback, and then we're going to have a discussion about it. And so the big thing here is to think about the fact that people typically have one intention and they often have a different impact. And so if you believe that even when someone has screwed something up or something hasn't gone well, if you go in believing like, okay, their impact didn't match their intention, but I bet their intention was good. So let me just say, okay, so in this situation, here was the behavior and here's the impact it had. And I like to give the impact on the person. So like whether it was, you know, your peers aren't exactly sure how to engage with you now, or, you know, something to that effect. You share the impact to self and the impact to others and then the impact to the business. And then what you say is like, I'm sure that that wasn't your intention, but it was your impact. So let's talk about how do we make sure your intention and your impact equal one another. And then you have a really good discussion about like, hey, tell me what you were trying to do. How do you feel about what happened? What do you think you can do differently next time?
Yeah. And I think sometimes a lot of these kind of conversations, they can feel awkward. And so just having those really simple, you know, little bullets to hit and just a structure to guide you through some of those conversations, I think can be super helpful. Let's talk about perspective taking. So I love this phrase that you gave me the other day: before someone will listen, they need to feel understood.
So perspective taking is really all about, so let's say you get into a conversation and you realize that you're kind of rubbing and maybe you don't agree with what the person said or they're, and so I was like, okay, so pause, back up and think about the fact that really to have somebody listen to you, you really need to make them feel understood. And the way to do that is through something called perspective taking, which is where you are like, okay, tell me like what happened for you? How did you feel? How did you experience this thing? And what you're doing the whole time is saying like, all right, so you felt this way about this thing and your perspective was this. And then you actually say like, thank you so much for sharing that. I would have not seen it that way. Or I that gave me some insight that I didn't have before. But what you do is you actually believe that their perspective and their experience is real and true for them. This isn't about like, you can't agree or disagree with someone's perspective because it's theirs. And so what this really is all about is making sure that somebody feels like you see them, you hear them, you are working really hard to understand them, because that level of like kindness and engagement and empathy really makes people feel like you care, which also makes them way more open to listening in whatever rub you're having.
I also loved a thing that you said to me recently about this, which was that if you understand the tool of perspective taking and you are skilled in being able to do that, then that means it's always your responsibility to play that role. Because in order to diffuse it, you need one person to, right? So if this is something that you're familiar with and you've had training in or just feel comfortable in, then it's your responsibility to be the one to do that, which I think is just a really important thing as well. Productivity is about making space for what matters. That's a phrase that I talk about a lot. And I think never more so than this year have we been forced to confront a lot of the stuff that does really matter. And I think this is really what I want to end on, which is I wrote actually a blog post about this recently under the same title, People First, Work Second Always. Apple's just going to share that, I think, in the chat. And this has become a bit of a personal mantra of mine over the last few years. We actually had about 3 years ago a period where it just seemed like everybody on our team was going through really difficult stuff, you know, breakups, very sudden bereavements, really difficult stuff happening. And for a while we started to think that our company and the people in our company were kind of cursed. And then after a while, we realized, no, this is life, right? Life is suffering, you know, to think about it in a very Buddhist sense. But people first, work second, always. The definition of this really is that when somebody comes to you and they say, and they say, hey, there's something really big going on in my personal life. I really don't know what to do. The answer is always drop your work, go and deal with what you're dealing with, take as long as you need, and then come back to us. And the thing is, that is always true, right? So the always has a double meaning. There are no exceptions to always, even when you're really busy, even when you're on a deadline. It's your job as a leader to replace that person on the team if they have to drop everything and go and do something like that and need to be away. And always is also about saying it's always somebody's always, right? So there'll always be someone on the team that either needs to be away or perhaps just needs some extra support. And just recognizing that people always come before task, I think, is just a really critical thing. I kind of thought that this was something that I'd adopted as a mantra like in more recent years, the last sort of four or five years. And then I put it out on the blog the other week, and my number two in my first really big job reached out. I hadn't spoken to her for about 5 or 6 years. And she was like, do you remember when we worked in London and new people would start and you would always say, go and get your house sorted out. You know, how long will that take? Just let us know. And then your start date is after that. Even when we had really critical stuff going on. And I was like, oh, isn't it? It's nice to know, like reassuring to know that this is something that I've, you know, really been thinking about and kind of using for a long time. So as I say, I really feel like there's, going to open this up for questions in a moment. I think I've definitely found over the years that when you put people first and work second, you build incredible loyalty from your team. And that's not to say that work doesn't matter or you don't have high standards with your work. I really do. And I set the bar, you know, really high for my team as well. But it's about recognizing that there's always stuff in our lives that, you know, that is either going to help us with our work or really impinge on our work. And we really need to recognize that it's humans doing that work. So people first, work second, always. I'd love you to check out that blog post. But I think it really has a huge effect on productivity, and ultimately it's just a power for good to be thinking about kindness. There are cynics, and there are people who will say, well, what's the ROI of this? You know, how does this drive profit? You know, like, surely we need to be more cutthroat. And I think in the world, you know, we need to go out into the world, and capitalism is about competition, right? So we need to go out and compete. And there are times where our organizations need to be cutthroat, but then within ourselves and within our teams, we need to also be kind. And so that kind of marrying up of cutthroat and kind, I think for me, is a really important thing to recognize. And if people are asking you about what's the payoff for this, and, you know, we don't have time for kindness and all that kind of stuff, and what's the ROI? I'll leave you with a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk. What's the ROI of your mum? And that's it. So let's open it up for some questions. I know there's a few questions in the Q&A already. So Richard says, question for Chris. If someone gives you, as they describe, brutally honest feedback, which in my experience is often more brutal than honest, how should you respond, if at all?
So interestingly enough, I always tell people to say thank you, period, and then walk away and then process it with somebody else. Because sometimes people use that whole brutally honest title as a reason to give you like judgy feedback. And so
it's like licensed to not be tactful, isn't it? Often like I just say it like it is. And it's like, well, no, you need
it's licensed to be mean about. Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Like when I hear the word brutal, I'm like, truth does not ever have to be brutal. It can always be like both truth and grace together. Yeah. It can be for you, right? And so yeah, there's a lot in that. Sometimes people are trying to like try on a new skill or something like that, and so here's what I always do. I'm like, okay, thank you, and I go process it. Like I go call Graham and I'd be like, hey, I just got this feedback. It actually felt like crap to get it, but I'm sure that there's a nugget in here. So help me mine for what actually I can take out of this. But I don't engage when somebody says that typically, because it often kind of is like,
John Brady put a question here. Presumably it's worth spelling out to your team that your perspective is that their intentions are positive. Yeah, I think probably if there's a flaw in the people first, work second, always approach, the only flaw in it would be that if you had somebody whose intentions were not positive, then they could see that as license to be taking too much time away, or to be kind of, taking advantage of that trust and autonomy. Because I think ultimately it is about trust and autonomy. And I think those are the things that ultimately build, I think, a really successful culture. And I think if you have people who just are not bought into that culture and don't really chime with it, then they probably shouldn't really be there anyway, right? So that's about hiring and kind of recognizing that the people that you bring in, share your values, have some kind of connection to the mission. And I think, maybe that's a slightly more difficult thing in larger businesses than smaller businesses. But then, as we've talked before, Moonpig, Timpsons, there are so many examples of organizations that are very hot on, putting trust in people, giving autonomy to the right people and helping them to live out those values. But yeah, absolutely. You want to be making it clear that, like, we think your intentions are positive and we think you believe in this at least nearly as much as I do or we do.
I think it's really good to actually do team norms and have assume positive intent be one of the team norms that you have. And then it actually level sets that expectation for everybody on the team.
Yeah.
And then you can always go back to, like, let's practice this. And so it's a really good, it just goes in line with the expectations for sure.
Question here, when putting people first and your business involves serving people, so like schools, training, nursing, etc., and an employee need conflicts directly with the needs of the clients, which people's needs come first? Is it still the team, the needs of the team always, or is it the children, the ill people, etc., etc.? I think this is a really good question, and it's kind of like a sort of ethical riddle, ethical dilemma in some ways. But what I would say is, having spent the first few years of my career working in the charity sector, where a lot of people are constantly, 3 days away from burnout and, strung out from caring too much and doing too many hours, I think it's really important in those kind of roles to be much more respectful of people's personal boundaries and work-life balance, because, particularly because they're people who are there because they care, often, more motivated by that caring than necessarily the money. And so, for me, those are probably the places to double down on people first, work second always. And, and what that then involves is, different conversations within the team about who's going to pitch in and cover for that person. It might involve bigger conversations around resourcing. And I know obviously in places like the NHS, that's just a really difficult circle to square. But I think we're talking about sustainability here, right? So unless we work out, how to manage people's work-life balance on a consistent basis, then people will leave. And that's certainly what happens in places like the NHS and teaching. People just burn out because they don't get the support that they need. So I would say those are the places when your industry is caring, you need to double down on caring for people.
I was just going to say, it just reminds me of the whole put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your child, like in an airplane. And so, I think that just underscores it.
Question here from Katie. Hi, Katie. How do you help your team move from niceness to kindness?
That's such a great question.
A lovely question.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that I would definitely do is have the conversation about what is the difference between nice and kind, and why do we want to move from nice to kind? Because it's really all about getting the best from people, having them be honest about what they're thinking, how they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what their perspectives are, and wanting to make sure that you as the leader understand, how do I make this the safest place possible for people to lean in, especially as they're moving from nice to kind. Because there's a lot of fear about, what if I say what I'm actually thinking? What if I stop nodding yes? And so there are little things that you can do, like in your meetings, institute I mean, this is just a practical thing, but institute no dirty yes. So explain what a dirty yes is, and say like, hey, we want a clean yes. Like, don't say yes if you mean no. If there's something that you have a reservation about, get it out there so we can talk about it, because we want you to have a clean yes going into this decision so that you can execute on it. And so, but the first place to start is have the conversation about what is nice, what is kind, and why would you make the move? And I think be honest about how people feel like what's at stake, right? So people actually, they feel like, ugh, that's a vulnerable place to be. And so we want to make sure that we set the team up with support to, that their vulnerability won't get shut down.
Yeah. I did a podcast a little while ago on Beyond Busy with David Barkay, who's one of the Navy captains. He wrote the book Turning the Ship Around, if you've seen that TED Talk, really brilliant TED Talk. And he has this follow-up book called Leadership is Language. And in the book, he talks about the phrases that we can use as leaders that are quite lazy and ultimately are not genuine questions, right? So things like, is everything okay? Are we all good? Does everyone understand? Like, there's no answer to that other than, yeah, okay, even when you don't. So flipping that around, and at the end of meetings, I heard an example the other week. Tesco has a sort of formula for meetings. And one of the formulas in every Tesco meeting is at the end, people say what they're happy about in reaching that decision, and also what their concerns still are, which I think is a really useful way to make sure that there's always a vessel for that honesty and always a vessel for that, very constructive disagreement or just showing that there are different perspectives. And I think, you know, groupthink becomes a huge issue in organizations if we don't have some kind of level of honesty. So yeah, check out David Marquet's work. He was on the Beyond Busy podcast, but the book Leadership is Language, I think, is a really useful resource around that. We've got a few more questions, and I need to shoot in a minute because I am going to speak at Kindfest in a minute, which you're very welcome to join us for all afternoon. But just before we finish, if you want more stuff from us, I'm going to be doing a couple of webinars around my new book with Colette Hennigan. It's called How to Have the Energy. So if you want to sign up for one of the free webinars on that, all about how to eat well to have the best energy for your work. And then Chris and I are going to be doing a thing that we're calling the Kindness Happening. Do you want to talk about the Kindness Happening, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to do a 4-week Zoom event starting in January to talk about the kindness in leadership and about how you do that. And so we've picked 4 like super relevant topics, and we're going to talk to some leaders in the kindness space, as well as the two of us. We're going to talk about things that are relevant so we can give you things to do like tomorrow afterwards. And we're going to have you interact with each other, do some activities, and do some Q&A as well. So we're pretty excited about that. It starts the 14th of January.
Yeah. And if you want to get involved with that, if you just go to Eventbrite and just put in Kindness Happening, it will come up. We are the only event called Kindness Happening. Apple's just put the link in the chat here as well. And if you use the code NINJA15, you get 15% off. There's also an opportunity to buy one ticket for you and gift a ticket for somebody else, pay it forward. So if you're able to do that, and really encourage you to do that. And yeah, really looking forward to just delving into some of those key topics around courageous conversations and giving feedback and how to manage healthy conflicts over the course of the Kindness Happening. So come and get involved with that. We'd love to have you with us. Here's a good final question before I leave you, Chris, and I'll leave you in.
And I'm going to stay. Yep.
Leave everybody in Chris's capable hands. I couldn't agree more with the people first, work second, always value. But any advice on how to manage directors, heads of, etc., against this value when pressure is being applied to perform against targets? So I guess that's saying, like, if people are kind of, kindness is all very well when things are quiet, but like we're under pressure and we've got targets to hit, so we don't have time for kindness, I guess. What do you think?
Well, yeah, so it's... So that's one of the times where you, all your influence or all your relationship building is going to have paid off. And so that you get to have that conversation with somebody where, again, you're kind with them, where you just say, hey, do you have a minute to talk? And then you sit down with them and you just say, this person has something going on. Like, it kind of depends on the situation, but you would say, I'm sure you didn't know this, but this person has this thing going on. And I'd really like to talk about how do we support this person as they're trying to perform, but also trying to take care of what's happening, right? So that's when you actually stand up for the value in the organization and you pull somebody aside and say, hey, I'm sure that like you don't recognize that when you send emails at 2 a.m. on Saturday night and then you tell people you don't expect for them to answer them on Sunday, but you have to understand the pressure that they feel because of who you are. You're having those conversations and you just try and influence the best that you possibly can, right? You can't make decisions for people, but you can make them aware of things that they are not aware of.
Always a thing where often if you've been in senior leadership roles for a long time, you just forget the impact.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since you felt intimidated by a senior leader. People just forget the impact that stuff has, right?
Yeah. Yes. And they just have gotten, they're so far away from the work of the day-to-day work that they don't even remember what it takes often to get something done or how much time it takes.
Yeah. And I'm going to head off and get into the backstage tent for Kindfest. So lovely to see you all here. Thanks, Chris, for being part of this. And yeah, really looking forward to the Kindness happening in January. So come and join us for that.
So as you heard there, we are doing this thing together, the Kindness happening, which launches on the 14th of January, 2021. So if you want to be part of it, then just go to eventbrite.co.uk and just put in the Kindness happening. And then you'll get the details for our 4 weeks of Zoom calls. It starts on the 14th of January. And if you want a discount code to get some money off, then just put in Ninja15. So Ninja and then 15, and that'll give you 15% off the price as well. We've tried to keep the price pretty accessible because we really want to have a nice broad range of people. And it's limited to 40 people. So when it sells out, it sells out. Will we do it again? I don't know. Maybe not. I think it might be a one-off thing. The idea is it will spark lots of conversation as well as leading into some of the work that we're both going to be doing over the next few months. So don't miss it. It's going to be a one-off thing. The Kindness happening 14th of January, and use the code NINJA15 at Eventbrite to get money off. I have a little bit of an announcement to make on a similar theme as well, which is, this is not something that I've actually written down publicly or put on my website or share with anybody. So you're going to be getting a little bit of a Beyond Busy exclusive here at the end of the episodes. And that is that I've signed a deal with Penguin Business to write a book. And the book is going to be on the same lines as we just talked about. So it's going to be all about kindness in leadership, why kindness is a really underrated leadership trait, how you can foster kindness in yourself and in your team and in your organization. And I'm really excited about it. It feels like a little bit of a step into the unknown for me. I've obviously been known as the productivity ninja guy for, I don't know, 11 or 12 years, something like that. So it's a long old time where my work has been really centered around productivity. Now, as you just heard, I passionately believe that the more kindness that you spread, the more empathy and trust you generate, and therefore the more productivity you get from your team. But this is a whole new subject matter, a whole new area. And it's, a very interesting step into a kind of whole new world, really. So I'm really excited about it. I've obviously been putting myself out there a little bit on this topic for a little while, been talking about it in my Rev Up for the Week email list, which if you're not on, you can just go to grahamalcott.com. And I just send out a positive or productive thought into your inbox every Sunday night for the week ahead. So yeah, I've been talking about it there a little bit. And then I did a couple of events for World Kindness Day in November 2020. But really, as of next year, I'm going to be cranking up my new role as ambassador of kindness going into 2021 feels like this year people have really needed it a lot. It feels like a word and a theme that's been on everybody's lips, and I want to keep it that way. I want to make sure that we build on this and, you know, really start to change how we view culture at work and being human at work and all of that stuff. So this is going to be the next stage of my life's mission, really. Really excited about the book. It's a little while. The process with Penguin Business is quite a bit longer than the process with my previous publisher. So my book deadline for the first draft is October 2021. And currently we're thinking about publication date as being somewhere around October 2022. Such a long project, but one I'm really excited about. And obviously the release of it will hopefully be the first step in a long association of me and my work on this topic. So really looking forward to it. Getting stuck in with it. There's going to be a bit more coming over the next few weeks on this topic and me sharing it. So watch this space, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So it's graham@thinkproductive.co.uk if you've got anything to share with me on that. And as ever, we're always looking for guests to be on the show. We've been a weekly podcast this year, and I thought maybe we'd be struggling to find guests and keep up with that relentless drive to record one a week and put one out once a week. And actually, we are booked up until about March, April time. Emily always tells me off because if I say March, it really means it's like June. Like, she's way further ahead than me. But we are booked up, in all seriousness, for quite a bit of the kind of winter and spring of 2021. But we're always keen to hear from like recommendations for guests if you want to put people forward. Put yourself forward if you like as well, but I actually usually prefer it if it's someone else putting you forward. And as always, really keen to make sure that we've got a good diversity of guests. So I don't just want lots of white men. I want lots of women. I want lots of people of color. I want lots of people from all around the world, actually, as well. Like, we've been, as a podcast, pretty focused on UK people. And I think as the podcast goes a bit more global, as we've really stepped up our game this year, we are definitely open to making our guests a bit more global as well. So if you've got people that you think might be a really good guest on the topic of productivity and work-life balance and how people set up their life and how people define happiness and stuff like that, then drop me a line. It's graham@thinkproductive.co.uk. I realize I'm rambling because I'm actually recording this on a Friday afternoon and it's been a long week. And that may well have been quite a rambly end to the podcast, but hopefully you've, if you've seen it through this far, then thank you and well done. Thank you for indulging me. But we'll be back next week. We've got a real life spy coming up on the podcast next week. So that's exciting. Someone talking about their life in government, playing really prominent roles in various government departments and intelligence agencies and stuff like that. And it's all about how to think like a spy. So it's a fascinating conversation. I think you're going to really love it. So we'll be back with that episode next week. All the show notes, previous episodes at getbeyondbusy.com. See you next week. Take care. Bye for now.